Good morning. We'll open the meeting. It's 10 a.m. Tuesday, September 20th, 2011. We're here in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission, and we have our regular biweekly meeting, which is scheduled on an irregular day, which is Tuesday as opposed to Wednesday for scheduling considerations. For the record, this is Tony Clark, chairman of the commission. I would like to welcome my fellow commissioners, Kevin Kramer and Brian Kalk, who are here with me as well today. Do we have any opening comments from my fellow commissioners?
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning and welcome. And I have to remind folks that this weekend the Bison will be defeating the Minnesota Gophers 24-21 on Saturday. It's my prediction.
Well, you think it'll be that close?
I don't know why.
Well, it's their home field, so they're going to get a couple.
It's pessimistic this week.
We do have a few items on consent, if there is
a motion. I move passage of consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving to items in my portfolio, TC1, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-11-610, canceling warehouse license numbers 44 and 1183 issued to Barlow Grain at Barlow and Bremen, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Barlow and Bremen is discontinued effective immediately.
Second.
These facilities have been sold to, or they've been merged into Allied Energy, which has a license that will be up next.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC2, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-603, granting the request of Allied Energy, Inc., DBA Allied Grain, to operate a 1,150,000 bushel grain warehouse at Barlow, North Dakota, and a 450,000 bushel grain warehouse at Bremen, North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC3, I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in Otter Tail Power Company's application for advanced determination of prudence for its participation in certain CapEx 2020 Group 1 projects, case number PU-09-676, and in Northern States Power Company's application for advanced determination of prudence for its participation in certain CapEx 2020 Group 1 projects, case number PU-09-678.
Second.
This is in relation to the advanced determination of prudence for what has come to be known as the Brookings Line, which was one outstanding issue from our previous ADP case that dealt with the CapEx 2020 transmission line projects. The commission held a hearing previously on this particular topic, and subsequent to that, a settlement with the public interest staff was filed. That settlement will be the subject of a consolidated public hearing for consideration of the settlement agreement on the continued prudence, and that will begin here in this hearing room, 12th floor of the State Capitol Building in Bismarck, October 26th, 1:30 p.m.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And TC4, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and citing application to 5 months, and assess a filing fee of $100,000 due upon filing an application in case number PU-11-601, Thunder Spirit Wind LLC's proposed 150-megawatt Thunder Spirit Wind Energy Project in Adams County, North Dakota.
Second.
This is a letter of intent, so it hasn't yet gone to the application stage, although they will be able to file an application 5 months from today. Related to Thunder Spirit Wind, which is a proposed project which would be constructed on up to 40 square miles of leased private property. Its location is approximately 10 miles northeast of Hettinger, North Dakota, in Adams County. As currently planned, the project would consist of up to 75 wind turbines, which would also include met towers, access road, underground collection lines, a substation, and operations and maintenance facilities. The entire project is proposed to be 150 megawatts, which is an approximate investment of about $300 million. Thunder Wind did not indicate what the interconnection point would be, or what who the buyer of this would be, or whether it would just be simply sold into the Midwest ISO market. I assume those are things we'll probably learn a bit more about as the project develops. The proposed timeline that they have as of today is for a June 1 commencement of construction of 2012 with hopeful completion by the end of the year of 2012. That's, of course, related to the production tax credit, which is set to expire at the end of December next year. Much of the investment in wind is driven by the extensions of that PTC, and we're seeing a slew of these types of projects which are setting their marker out there with the hopes, if they are able to come online, to be able to come online at the end of next year to be able to meet that PTC deadline.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Kolk.
Good morning. Item BK1. I move the commission adopt the order approving application approving Montana Dakota Utility Company's request to transfer its distribution franchise, works and system used in the provision of electric distribution service within the community of White Earth and its surrounding area, North Dakota, to Montreal Williams Electric Cooperative, case number PU11230.
Second.
In June of this year, MDU filed an application under North Dakota Century Code to transfer its distribution franchise works and systems using the community of White Earth to Montreal Williams Electric Co-op. In June of this year, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. If anyone interested could request a hearing for us from us, no responses were received. In September of this year, the commission discussed the issue with staff, MDU, and Montreal Williams in an informal hearing. And MDU's main points that they wanted to do this transfer was to avoid the investment necessary to refurbish and replace existing MDU distribution line, free up capacity in the Tioga substation for use by MDU and other areas, and reduce the number of electric lines within the corridor currently used by MDU. Basically, it was a very good hearing. It was the second time we had discussion with MDU in Montreal Williams. The first we had recently was on a service area agreement up in Williston. And this was kind of the same thing, very good discussion between the two companies, and it was clearly, to me, was a win-win for both organizations. It's certainly compatible with public interest in North Dakota law. And the way this is going to lay out is the MDU will provide us written notice within 5 days of when they're set to transfer the services. We didn't exactly set a date because there's going to be some work that needs to be done. So they'll notify us within 5 days, and at that point, the order will become effective.
This is an example, as Brian said, of two companies working together. It's also an example of, I think, future planning by the companies. MDU had indicated to us that this was a line that it's a radial line that hooks up White Earth that would probably need to be replaced at rather substantial cost to MDU, especially given the number of customers in that area. And it's a city that is more easily served by the Rural Electric Cooperative. In this case, it's in the area, and it better fits into their expansion plans and reliability plans that they have. So looks like a good outcome for both members of the REC, but also those customers that are served by MDU.
This really was, as they stated, an extension of the ongoing negotiations between the two companies, which are enjoying tremendous growth and the challenges and the opportunities that come with that growth. And so the cost per customer for a new radio line would obviously not make economic sense to MDU. On the other hand, Montreal Williams is building out its rural infrastructure to meet the growing demands of the oil fields, and so it fit right in and made sense for everybody involved, including the ratepayers of both companies.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Item BK2. I move the commission adopt the order certifying use of federal universal service support for rural eligible telecommunication carriers to receive federal universal service funding in 2012, case number PU11463.
Second.
The Telecommunication Act of 96 requires telecommunication carriers that use universal service support to use it only for the provision, maintenance, and upgrading of facilities and service for which support is intended. In August of 2002, the North Dakota PSC issued an order indicating that all telecommunication carriers providing local exchange services in North Dakota that desire to have North Dakota PSC certification shall file an affidavit with the commission by September 14th of each year, certifying they're using the funds to which the manner they are intended. So we have received the affidavits from 45 companies. The affidavit certified, as I stated, they're using the funds correctly. And basically what will happen is we review it, And then once we approve this motion, if it is approved, we'll notify the FCC of all the companies that are involved. So everything appears to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
That concludes the items in my portfolio.
Thank you. Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. KC1, I move the commission present the 2011 State Reclamation Award to the Cotoll Properties Company.
Second.
Each year, the Public Service Commission's Reclamation Award Program sets out criteria for presenting a reclamation award at the annual Lignite Energy Council's meeting and awards luncheon. This year's awards luncheon will be held on October 6th. We, of course, invite or provide the opportunity for companies to submit applications or nominations. Almost never do we receive any, and so it's always up to us to initiate it, and that's just fine. Our reclamation division does a good job, knows the companies well, and this year they're recommending that Cotoll Properties Company receive the award for measures they've taken to alleviate compaction in reclaimed soils. As just part of the reclamation process, it's natural that there's a certain amount of compaction in the upper part of the respread subsoil. So where the subsoil and the topsoil sort of merge, there's naturally some subsoil compaction. It varies depending on, of course, a number of factors, including soil moisture and whatnot. But what was happening is that some farmers who farm reclaimed lands at our mines expressed concerns about the compacted soil layer between the subsoil and the topsoil. And this, of course, inhibits water from going deeper into the subsoil. And, of course, it's also the roots then, because believe it or not, roots go beyond topsoil into the subsoil. If they're not able to get there, it inhibits, of course, yields and the ability to grow things. So anyway, what happened was at the request of a farmer a number of years ago who bought a ripper, a deep ripper. That's a tool that goes about 18 inches or deeper, 30 inches into the ground, at 30-inch, widths between the forks, and rips up that topsoil-subsoil compaction area without, digging up a lot of the land. Now it does pull up a lot of rocks. But by doing so, it enhances this natural water flow and root penetration into the subsoil. Hearing about that, Mark Schultz, at the time, at least he's now retired, but manager of Cotoll of the Freedom Mine, bought that ripper from the farmer, set a goal of ripping up 1,000 acres per year of reclaimed land. All of this not required. While it certainly enhances reclamation, certainly enhances the yield production, again, that the minimum standards could be met without doing it. But the fact that the company itself initiated this, has since sold that ripper, purchased a bigger one, and has continued its commitment to enhancing the reclaimed, especially croplands, is, I think, a testament to the company's commitment to constantly improving not only reclamation, but landowner relations, which is good for everybody. Worthy recipient, and good job, reclamation staff, for its recommendation.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, these next two are letters of intent that represent the next phase in the Enbridge-Bakken expansion. KC2, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to 3 weeks, and assess a filing fee of $100,000 in case number PU11605, Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota LLC's proposed Granora Station upgrade project in Williams County, North Dakota.
Second.
You'll recall that recently approved upgrades to the Beaver Lodge Loop and the Berthold Station, and then the reversal of the portal line from Berthold, otherwise known as Route 26, which runs from Berthold Station up to Steelman, Saskatchewan, then up to Cromer, Manitoba, which then gets into the Clearbrook transmission line. It enhanced export capacity, will when it's all done, by about 145,800 barrels per day. And then the North Dakota line from Berthold to Clearbrook, directly to Clearbrook, has been upgraded over the last 6 years in six phases by about 125,000 barrels per day. These two upgrades, this Granora Station upgrade and the next one that I'll be talking about, provide injection points for Bakken and Three Forks crude into that expansion. The existing Granora pump station is going to be upgraded, and I think it's important, I think it's an interesting testimony as well, that the upgrades that they're proposing to the Granora station are all on existing property. It's property that Enbridge already owns by fee. There will be no new property purchase for this, but they plan to install new pump units, station meters, VFDs, pig launchers, receivers, manifold, station piping, as well as some a 40,000 barrel tank, and it's going to be used to connect the new shipper owned and operated truck unloading facilities to their station facilities. As I said, this upon completion of these upgrades, and then, of course, the hydro test of Line 83, which follows, Enbridge will be able to increase the pipeline capacity between the Granora pump station and the Beaver Lodge pump station, and then the terminal facility, from 16,800 barrels per day to 59,670 barrels per day, which is, as you can probably do by the math, and figure out by the math, just short of an incremental 43,000 barrels per day increase. So this will provide additional volumes, access to the new export pipeline capacity at the Beaver Lodge Loop Line, which I talked about earlier. Assuming everything goes well and subject to our commission approval, they anticipate commencing construction on April 30th of next year and then having the line in service by December of 2012. And their estimated cost of the construction of the, for the Granora Pump Station upgrade project is $35 million.
If you want to look at this, the seriousness and the scope of what the industry is thinking about with regard to this Bakken and Three Forks play, a good measure of that is to look at pipeline infrastructure, because it tells you what the transport companies are looking at in the future, because these are very long-term investments that they intend to use for quite some time. Enbridge just within the last week or so submitted a packet of information. They've given it to the commission before, but it was a good reminder for me to look through that at, while we're dealing with a couple of cases today, just how many incremental piece parts there are to this pipeline expansion project that over the next few years will bring a tremendous amount of export capacity to North Dakota. And it's something to step back and look at that every now and then and just see exactly how many barrels per day are being brought online, and that this is a very real phenomenon. It's a real play, and there's a lot of money that's being put into expansion that should serve the state for decades.
It's really quite encouraging in a way, because I think back to 5-6 years ago, and by the way, 6 years ago, just put it in context with Tony saying, that the capacity from Berthold to Clearbrook on the direct line, the North Dakota line, was 65,000 barrels per day. Since then, we've approved six phases of upgrades to that line in the last 6 years, which make it now 185,000 barrels per day. But as you're right, it's kind of like it sneaks up on you year by year, and all of a sudden you have to look back on it to get the appropriate context of just how massive this is. But when I think back to those early days and the formation of the Pipeline Authority as a perhaps a tool to help alleviate some of this, since then the market has stepped up, and the Pipeline Authority's never had to participate in a pipeline project, and yet the investment community has seen that, hey, this is the real deal. Yeah, it's a good indication.
All in favor?
Aye.
KC3, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent to shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to 3 weeks, and assess a filing fee of $100,000 in case number PU11606, Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota LLC's proposed Little Muddy Station Connection Project in Williams County, North Dakota.
Second.
All right. The Little Muddy Connection Project includes the construction of a new injection station and a new transmission pipeline, and the installation of certain station facilities to upgrade their existing East Fork pump station. To give some context to that, you know where Granora is in the far northwest, East Fork is just south a little ways of Granora and then slightly to the east. And there's an existing line from East Fork directly into that Beaver Lodge station again. So we're getting oil into Beaver Lodge station via these pipelines through these upgrades. The project scope includes installation of new pumping units, two new 20,000 barrel tanks, 5.6 miles of new 10-inch pipeline, and of course all the other metering facilities, valves, appurtenances. It'll accommodate a receipt of Bakken and three-fourths crude oil volumes through these two new points of injection, the first one being the new shipper-owned and operated truck facility at Little Muddy, and then the other being Enbridge's interconnect with Brigham Pipeline. This will enable Enbridge to move an incremental 35,000 barrels per day from trucked crude oil volumes and 20,000 barrels per day from the new Brigham connection into the East Fork pump station. As I said, then from there it goes to the into the Beaver Lodge loop and ultimately to Berthold, where it can either go straight to Clearbrook or up to Cromer and then eventually to Clearbrook and points beyond. Again, their timeline for this is the same as the previous. They anticipate commencing construction on April 30th of next year, being in service by December of next year. But this project is $1 million cheaper. This one's $34 million as opposed to $35 million.
Sure. The only thing I would add to this motion and the previous one, and actually the earlier Wynn motion, is the commission continues to shorten the waiting time, you know, to whether it's 3 weeks or a few months, staying aggressive in building this infrastructure. I think that's significant because we're still able to use the siting dollars to keep up with the workflow. But the more pipelines that we build, like I always say, it's less trucks in the highway. And the long-term solution to truck safety is getting these pipelines built. So it's significant that they keep building these and we are able to keep up with the workflow.
You know, the encouraging thing, the thing I noticed about this one, Brian, along those lines too, is you notice that we've received the LOI today. We've shortened the one-year waiting period, but they're not going to commence construction until April of next spring, and that's encouraging to me.
You want to get it approved?
Yeah, you know, that's right. It gives us the time to do our work, but it also avoids winter construction, and we've noticed that that's had its consequences. So I appreciate both the urgency and the patience that's represented in this timeline.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio.
And that ends the items on the Commission's agenda, bringing your attention to announcements over the next couple of weeks. We have just over a three-week gap. This time will be our next regular scheduled Commission meeting is going to be Wednesday, October 12th, which is a week later than it would usually be. And we the Commission itself does not have a hearing between now and next meeting, although there is a substantive ALJ that will be holding a hearing in Watford City, in Belfield, on Monday, October 10th, related to the Whiting Oil and Gas Corp. Crude oil pipeline Billings and Stark counties. Are there any questions?
Do you have a rough estimate about how much Enbridge has invested?
It wouldn't be hard to add it all up. I should have done that before coming in.
I've got it on this. I think we probably all have. There's a spreadsheet on our desk.
We can actually have it.
Total it up very quickly.
Although
it's,
you know,
it's significant.
I don't know.
I think it's somewhere around $600 million, but we'll look it up.
Okay.
Then that may be the total proposed. I'm maybe mixing a few things up.
Also, you said that with these wind projects, they're rushing to perhaps get them built perhaps by next December. Besides Thunder Spirit Wind, are there others that are pending out there still?
Well, the ones that are under construction or pending, there's a significant amount of development that's going on in Morton and Oliver counties, and that's related to Minnesota Power Bison 1, 2, and 3, which are in various stages of either permitting or construction. And that's where a lot of the activity has been this year, and they're seeking to get those under construction and built by the end of next year so that they can access that PTC. There are other projects that we hear about that are, or expansion projects that are potentially out there. I'm trying to think if we have an actual application yet in any of those or not. We know that there's some work. I mean, we've seen the work with the Burley County project, and I can't recall if they've actually submitted an app to us yet or not. Jerry's saying no, but that might be one to look for just because we're seeing activity at the county permitting level. Nonetheless, it's interesting because on one hand, energy markets are somewhat depressed. Electricity markets are somewhat depressed because of the national recession. At the same time, this PTC is hanging out there, and there's a sense that at some point the economy will recover and there'll be a pickup. So I think companies find themselves in a very interesting time. For North Dakota, we've continued to see an increase in wind power development, despite the sort of, to use a pun, negative headwinds that affect the wind energy industry right now, primarily related to the national recession. But while it slowed down a bit from previous years, it's really only a slowdown in relative terms, and we're still adding significant amounts of megawatts of power, not the hundreds of megawatts that we saw a few years ago, but still positive growth.
You know, one of the things, though, that where the recession has actually had some favorable impact on wind development, for example, is that the cost of construction and development has gone way down. And so for companies like Minnesota Power, XL Energy, maybe, I don't know, maybe a Great River Energy, companies that have a requirement to meet a renewable portfolio standard, they have the advantage of lower cost right now, and then the PTC. And I would expect, you talk about pending applications or letters of intent. I think it's important also to monitor the projects we have cited that have not yet been built. I think therein lies probably an opportunity yet, given the closing window, for a project to emerge. We know, for example, that XL Energy is in the market for 150 megawatts since they've dropped out of the previous case, the previous wind farm that is cited down in south central North Dakota. But we also know we've cited the border wind project up in Rolette County, which Sequoia owns. We also know there's a transmission line in that area. And so I guess I'm sort of just watching the tea leaves and thinking, I think any day we should see an announcement. The Rough Rider's another one. That's right.
The other issue, just besides labor and supply costs that has gone down significantly in the last year, is cost of capital. The cost of debt has never been lower for utility companies. I suspect utility companies are probably refinancing their existing debt at lower rates, and access to new debt to finance some of these operations is at historic lows too. So you have these interesting dynamics that are pressing the wind industry forward across the nation, but continuing here in North Dakota.
By the way, Enbridge's material here says that, as a matter of fact, more than $1 billion has recently been invested to expand the Enbridge North Dakota system and increase pipeline access for North Dakota and Montana oil producers. So that's one company, over $1 billion. Used to be real money around here.
Yeah, I totaled up a few days ago. Total investments that the commission has approved in petroleum, gas plant expansions, wind farm transmission lines, everything that the commission approves is now about $5.5 billion in the last, roughly since 2006. Any further questions?
The whole gross state product when I was economic development director was $13 billion. That was if we had a good...
good crop?
A bad crop with a good disaster payment. There's nothing better for personal per capita income growth than a crop disaster when I was economic development director. I never bragged about it, however.
Anyway. Anything else? Hearing none, we'll close the meeting. We'll come back in 5 minutes after order signing for the administrative portion of the agenda.